My brothers and I would like to welcome you this morning to this house of the Lord in the name of our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus Christ. And it is He who we remember this day. His life, His purpose, His sacrifice, and even that resurrection, that He lives. And because He lives, and through His Spirit, He moves in the lives of His people. What a wonderful thing that is. I observed something yesterday. Josie, my youngest daughter, and Hadley play on a club volleyball team. And they had a tournament in Liberty yesterday. And there's this one girl on their team that is different. She's not like the rest of the kids on the team. And she'll kind of be by herself some. And yet the girls, I think, try their best to be nice to her. And Josie, on the last set of their last match, there was a collision and she injured her foot. And a foot she had broken previously. And so after that match was over, I helped her over to the bleachers. And this girl that was different was the girl to help me get Josie over to the bleachers. She was the first girl to reach out to Josie after we got home to see how she was doing. You see, brothers and sisters, as this Jesus Christ lives within our lives and His Spirit moves within us, it not only impacts our lives, but it impacts the lives of others. This Jesus Christ, when He walked this earth, impacted the lives of many. And He is still impacting the lives of many this day. And that's who we remember. For our call to worship, we'll be reading from 3 Nephi, chapter 12. And this is Jesus speaking. Behold, I have given unto you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. And my Father sent me that I may be lifted up upon the cross. And after that I have been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me. Let's continue of singing hymn 11.
Our glories above. Our Father and our God, in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, we approach your throne of grace and mercy with thankful hearts that we might meet again, that we might come for the sole purpose, O God, of remembering your Son, Jesus Christ, his sacrifice and his love and his unwavering watch care over us. And in this time, O Lord, we ask that your good spirit might come and accompany us, and not only accompany, but preside over our time together, that you might he might continue to be with our brother Tony, and a particular portion, a greater portion of that spirit might be with our dear brother Josh as he would break forth the word of life. And for each of us, O God, that have come into your house of worship this day, as we might partake, as we reach forth, let us remember our opportunity to witness that which you have done through your Son, Jesus Christ, and that sacrifice that was made for each of our souls, that we might live eternally with you. Bless our endeavors to serve you, Lord, to honor you and praise you in this time together. We ask and pray all these things in the precious name of thy Son, who is Jesus Christ. Amen.
Saints. An oblation is an offering to God. Out of the priesthood manner, we find that the oblation is an offering taken at the time of the communion service. And the inclusion of this offering as a regular part of the service has occurred during recent years. This practice comes definitely as a result of a resolution presented at General Conference in 1917 as follows, and I quote, "It is the opinion of the Order of Bishops that every branch should comply with the law by receiving oblation at sacrament service, as found in section 95.2, and that the amount so received should be placed within the bishopric in harmony with the section 42.8. I'm going to read to you section 42.8 to clarify that a little bit. And if thou lovest me, thou shalt serve me and keep all my commandments. And behold, I will remember the poor and consecrate of thy properties for their support. That which thou hast to impart unto them with a covenant and with a deed which cannot be broken. And inasmuch as you impart of your substance unto the poor, you will do it unto me." Would you bow with me? Our great and merciful Heavenly Father, truly our merciful God, you have provided us with many blessings. And now I pray that all those are ready to return some of those blessings to you, that the poor may be fed and uplifted and strengthened, that all these monies would be set apart for the proper purpose, that it would be used wisely and it would be used sparingly, but yet would be enough for all those that have need. And I praise you and thank you for all you provide, and I pray it in the blessed and holy name of thy Son, Jesus. Amen.
For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye come unto me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 14. Why are we here today? I've been pondering that for quite a while. Why am I here? Why are we here today in general? In Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, if you want to turn with me, it says, "Thus the heaven and the earth were finished and all the hosts of them, and on the seventh day God ended my work and all things which I had made. And I rested on the seventh day from all my work, and all the things which I had made were finished. And I, God, saw that they were good. And I, God, blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in that which I had rested on my work, which I, God, had created and made. And now, behold, I say unto you that these are the generations of the heaven and the earth when they were created in that day, that I, the Lord God, made the heaven and the earth, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For I, the Lord God, created all things which I have spoken spiritually before they were naturally upon the face of the earth. For I, the Lord God, had not caused it to rain upon the face of the earth." We're all here for a reason. I was thinking back to my baptism. It was quite some time ago, thinking back. And a good friend of mine, Francis Harper, had baptized me. And in preparation for that, anybody that has been baptized, you should know that you go through classes and you prepare to be baptized and you learn the significance behind that. Through my studies of my preparation for my baptism, I had many people that were in my life that I was very blessed to have, Francis and George Allen, if you know who he is. And there's a lot of people that were in my life. Dan Brown, for example, was somebody that was very strong in my life, somebody that I very much looked up to. And I can't explain why I'm feeling so strong right now. But when I look at those men, they all had something in common. They all wanted to serve. They all wanted to be servants of the Lord. We are here on this day to remember the many sacrifices that Jesus had made for us and the ultimate price that he paid for our sins. We take it for granted too often. In Exodus 31, verse 14, it says, "Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whatsoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days now, 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the day, is the Sabbath of rest. Holy to the Lord, whatsoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, ye shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the days, of the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. In my researching and trying to find numerous examples as to why this day is so special, I found several verses, and I won't read all of them, but I just read one in Exodus, but there's several more in Numbers chapter 15. There's another example of violating the Sabbath day. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, if you want to look that up at verse 13, there's many examples I could keep listing, but they all have a common theme. I am guilty of this so all the time. Coming to church just to come to church. Not preparing. We are living in an end time. It's beyond me to see what's going on in the world, in my personal life as well. And I reflect on the many things I've done wrong, and I continue to do wrong. But God is a merciful God and a forgiving God. In Matthew chapter 28, I'll read the whole chapter. In the end of the Sabbath day, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, early in the morning came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there had been a great earthquake, for two angels of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and it sat open, and their countenance was like lightning and their raiment white as snow. And for fear of them, the keepers did shake and become as though they were dead. And the angels answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for ye know that ye see Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, and he said, as he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. For when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw them, they worshipped him, and some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always unto the end of the world. Amen. I'm just as sinful as any of you in this room. Probably more so. As you prepare your hearts for this time, reflect on the sins that you have committed. There is little time, and I know I've heard that saying many times from many different preachers. Many different people have claimed there's little time, and we're in the end time, and that's true. We're all here for a reason. We're all here to worship, and we're all here to feel the Spirit, and I feel so blessed to feel it this morning. But we need to prepare. The men that I have mentioned were great examples that had prepared and tried to teach me those same morals. So the answer, why are we here? It's very simple. We're here to repent. And we're here to remember Jesus Christ because he made that ultimate sacrifice for us. I thank you for your prayers, and I pray that you will be with remembrance throughout the rest of the service. Thank you.
Saints of the living God, this table has been prepared for you. I trust this day, as we've been counseled already, that you have come in an attitude of repentance and preparation for that which we are about to do. We're about to reach forth and partake our hands, partake of the sacrament of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'd invite you now to kneel with me as this prayer is offered upon the bread. O God, the Eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him, and keep his commandments which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen. Has anyone missed their portion of the bread that desired to partake? Then, saints, I invite you once again to kneel with me as a prayer is offered over the wine. O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have his Spirit to be with them. Amen. Desired to partake, received their portion of the wine. From the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah, it says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." What a great promise that is for us, that his word stands the test of time, that lives beyond the life of men, and has been from the beginning of man unto the end thereof. And as his Spirit moves amongst us, as is explained here in Isaiah, we fade before that Spirit. I suppose in recognition of the power that comes from the presence of the Spirit of God himself, who shares that with the children of men. I think our brother Josh experienced that this morning. I know many of you have experienced the power of the Spirit as it rested upon you in your lives. You know, that Spirit does many things. It brings to our remembrance things that we've learned. It calls us to repentance. It moves amongst us and knits us together. It makes us one. I witnessed this morning, should have observed it many times in the past, but it was made, to me, became very aware this morning of the fact that we came together this day to worship, and I'll say in spirit and in truth. Because what I witnessed as we sang this morning. And I looked out and observed the youngest of us with their hymn books open and singing with great joy, to the oldest of us, the same thing, with the hymn books open and singing songs of praise. Each of us joined together in worship of our Heavenly Father. And I believe He was pleased. And I pray, saints, that you felt this morning this unity of faith knit together by the power of His Spirit as it moved in our midst. And I pray, saints, that that Spirit will go before you today, will return with you to your homes, will be with you this week in your place of business and in your goings about of your daily activities until we can meet again to worship, young and old, here in the house of God. I pray that this Spirit moved and touched you in a way this morning that causes you to reflect on your life and to humble yourself in sincere repentance. Josh is right. These are the last days. And before us are the promises of the prophets, the things that they've shared with us that would come to pass. And I pray together in the unity of faith that we all might be able to enter into that kingdom that will be raised up here on this earth, the kingdom of our God, the city of Zion. That is my prayer for us. Saints, shall we endeavor to become one, not only with each other, but to become one with our God and His only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who we come to remember today. O God, the eternal Father, Thou who art from everlasting to everlasting, the great I am, Lord, we sing our praise unto Thee this day. We thank You, Father, for the Sabbath. We thank You for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper that we were able to partake in today. We pray, Father, a blessing upon this Thy people as they depart. Would Your Spirit be with them and continue to be with us, we ask. Go before us in all things that we do. Bring to our remembrance, Father, the great testimonies that we have in this life that You have shared with us. May we be valiant in sharing them with others. Thank You, Father, for all Your many blessings, and may all praise and honor and glory be lifted up unto Thee, for indeed Thou art worthy. We ask these things in the sacred name of Thine only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.